Welcome to the Field Trip Podcast. My name is Brent Terhune. Joining me for the eighth time on the show. I don't know if that's true, but you're back again, Vinny Lanfert.
Howdy do.
Thanks for being on the show. And we're going to talk, you already saw it on the episode headline, but we're talking the history of Halloween. And by that, I mean, I did a bunch of research and I hope it's not incorrect. And Vinny, I asked you to be on this show because I know you love Halloween. You're a horror movie fan. You love Halloween. So I know you're just as passionate about Halloween as I am.
Oh yeah. It was a big deal from growing up and until now in my household. Mm-hmm. Halloween is a big deal.
Well, and just before we turn the mics on here, you showed me your candy stash. What'd you say? You had 590 treat bags.
690 treat bags ready to roll for Halloween night for the trick or treaters.
Yeah. So if that's any, if you're questioning, is Vinny Lanfert qualified to be on the History of Halloween episode? There you go. Those are his qualifications. There's 600 of them.
I almost find Halloween to be a more selfless holiday than Christmas, as far as an adult goes, because mm-hmm. you are, because candy is not cheap.
Yeah, the good candy too, especially.
But, yeah, all killer, no filler, mm-hmm. and then for the sole purpose of just giving it away.
Yeah,
for no other reason other than to just give it away.
Merriment.
Yeah.
And you broke down your snack bag there. You had a Snickers, a Twix, you had a sucker, you had some vampire fangs, and you had a Rice Krispie treat.
Yes.
Which is important. If you're handing out candy, maybe consider some of those kids that can't have chocolate or nuts. I told you, Vinny, that we only hand out peanuts. Which
unshelled, unsalted.
Yeah. Just from my hand into your bag.
My grandma used to just pop popcorn in her popcorn popper and put it in sandwich bags and give it to kids. Like, okay. You could never, ever, ever do that now.
No, that's immediately getting weeded out as far as, yes. Nope, don't eat that.
Yes. That's I always put those vampire fangs in the bags. I used to just buy them and watch for the kids who didn't have a costume.
Mm-hmm.
And I would casually slide them over one that had fangs in it. But now I just put fangs in every bag.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, you know, do you remember some of your costumes that you had as a kid?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I probably remember all of them.
What were your favorites?
Oh, man. I went as Max Headroom, if you remember what Max Headroom is.
I've heard of it. I'm not too familiar with it, but.
Is the old Coca-Cola thing where it was like this computer-generated face and a TV, and he kind of mm-hmm. had the stuttery thing. They do a bit on it in Back to the Future too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had a cardboard TV that my dad had painted up for me, mm-hmm. cut the front out and had milk caps for the knobs, and a sheet around the bottom that went all the way to the floor, and I had a Max Headroom mask. That was one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I went as the Grim Reaper in second grade.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma made the robe for me. Let's see.
I can tell you one.
One is the Frankenstein monster. It was just fun shit like that.
One year I was a mime, which is not the most masculine costume, but you know, when you're this masculine, you don't have to flex it.
That's fair.
And I had a sign around my neck that said trick or treat. And then you flip it over and said, thank you. That's one of my most memorable ones because I didn't have to talk all night. I just showed you what it was.
What about when you win a Steve Urkel?
No, that was my brother. My brother.
I thought you went as Steve Urkel. Okay.
Well, he died. Thanks for bringing that up. But so you can't be. There's a picture somewhere. I won't post it, and you'll know why. But I'm the Red Power Ranger. No mask. We're in my grandma's living room, and I'm not wearing the mask. And for some reason, I could have been like Children of the Damned, just stone face. Creepy kid. And then my brother was Steve Urkel, but I assume it was my mom's decision. You know, Steve Urkel looks a certain way, and boy did my brother look that way. Like, he was a blackface and at 11 or 12. Of course, times have changed and you would never do that now, but to think back, oh my god, just blackface. And it wasn't like an adult man doing that. It was a kid. So again, you shouldn't do that anyway, but looking back, you're like, oh God.
Whew. Good times.
That, and the, you know, he would say today, did I do that?
Say no, mom did that.
Yes, yes, my mom. She's still alive, so you can crucify her if you want to. yeah, that one, I think it was a werewolf one year. There's those standards. You were the Frankenstein monster. There's yep. a werewolf. I'm sure many people were a vampire.
I did that too.
One year, my brother was the headless horseman, and my grandpa made that. And it was like a thing you put on your body that makes you look taller. Of course, you can see out the middle of it or whatever. So some of those, like the, you, part of me misses that ingenuity, because I don't think too many people make a costume anymore, you know?
Those definitely stand out when the trick-or-treaters come through, when you see the kids whose parents have gone the distance for them mm-hmm. and have a really cool homemade costume. My favorite one a few years ago was when this kid hops out of the car in front of the house. He was probably 4 years old, mm-hmm. Wearing a Flash costume, the DC Comics superhero, the Flash. Yeah. And he took 3 running steps and tripped and fell right on his face. And it took everything in my being to not laugh loud enough for them to hear it. But man, was it funny to me to watch a kid dress as the Flash trip over his own feet.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like about like somebody, some kid dressed as the Hulk asking his mom to open up the candy because he's not strong enough.
Yeah, that was same good effect. Stuff. Good stuff.
And we will talk about some of the most popular Halloween costumes if we have enough time, Vincent.
Gotcha.
Some of this is a lot of this is from history.com, as in historychannel.com. But so that's one of my main sources. Some of this is very like history where I'm reading to you. And if you have anything in thing you want to chime. So I'm going to try and get through this because I don't want to make it so boring that you're just listening to a history type podcast. But Halloween's origins date back to ancient Celtic festival. And it's written as Samhain. But that's not how you say that, Vinny. Did you know that? Because a lot of Samhain is how you would say it. But even in the Halloween movies with Michael Myers, they're throwing around the Samhains all the time.
Okay.
The Celtics, who lived 2,000 years ago around Ireland and the UK and France, celebrated Samhain on November 1st. And they believed that between October 31st and November 1st, that's when the veil between the dead and the living was the most thinnest. Thin. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's why we could get monsters and goblins coming through. To commemorate the event, the Druids, which were Celtic priests, built huge sacred bonfires where the people gathered to burn crops and animals as sacrifices to the Celtic deities. Celtics wore costumes typically consisting of animal heads and skins and attempted to tell each other's fortunes. When the celebration was over, they all relit their fires in their house and their hearths with that bonfire that they just lit outside in hopes that that fire would keep them safe over the coming winter.
And is that also where the animal skins and stuff also to disguise themselves so that they wouldn't be bothered by the ghouls and stuff
that night? Yeah. We will have something like that a little later, but I imagine that's probably part of it, is to scare the scary things off if you're dressed as a bull,
yeah,
or whatever, you know. Have you ever had your fortune told or anything like that?
I think I had a buddy at one time that kind of messed with tarot cards a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that I'm not a superstitious person in most cases,
mm-hmm.
but when things like this start to happen, my Judeo-Christian upbringing tends yep. to rear its head, and I tend to say, mm-mm, and scurry the other direction.
Yeah.
Suddenly am very superstitious. About things like that.
I did. I was in the can for 13 years in Catholic school. So even if I don't believe that stuff anymore, it's in your head. You're just like, you can't not unwire your brain from certain things.
Yeah. It'll always be there. It'll always influence. You're never fully rid of it. And the reason is because you were indoctrinated from birth.
Yeah. Yep.
That is why it'll always be with you, as it is with me. So yeah, things like tarot cards and Ouija boards and that kind of thing, I tend to kind of steer clear of.
Now, we'll probably talk about this a little later in the show, but did you guys, I went to Catholic school. I don't know if you went to Catholic school or just were religious, but were you allowed to wear your Halloween costumes to school?
Yes, we were. My upbringing was Protestant, specifically Salvation Army from like birth until like 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, there was a scandal where one of the people who had gone to the church was convicted of molesting his own granddaughter.
Okay, that's funny.
So,
hilarious.
Yeah, so my mom decided that she would remove us from that church, and to get us away from stuff like that, we started going to Catholic church.
Oh, thank God.
So by, I think it was age 14, I was anointed into the Catholic church. Mm-hmm. For anybody who's familiar with it, I don't believe I ever had communion before, because by the time I was 15, my parents basically were like, all right, it's your choice whether or not you want to go. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm out.
And, yeah.
Have never been back with any kind of regularity. It's been for events for other family members that I've never really.
Yeah.
But yes, to answer the other side of that question, yes, we there were no restrictions on Halloween costumes. My dad dabbled in makeups and latex appliances and all that kind of thing. I'm actually named after Vincent Price because that was Dad's favorite actor.
Mm-hmm.
So my house, Halloween was a big celebration. My dad had a book, which I now have over in my case. It was a Dick Smith's do-it-yourself monster makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And we would, every year he would get that out. My brother and I would go through it and would pick out a makeup we wanted him to do. And that would be what we would do for the year. So yeah. And my 15-year-old son's mind was just blown recently when he saw a picture of my kindergarten class where we were in costume. Mm-hmm. It was like those old Ben Cooper vacuum form masks and the shitty
creepiest
plastic
costumes
smock.
Possible. Yeah. Yeah.
That you couldn't breathe or see out of.
That would get the moisture in your face.
Yeah. And he couldn't believe that we were allowed to wear costumes at school because he's never known that.
Really? That like they don't do Halloween at your kid's school?
Nope, not at all. Even when they were little.
I remember That's nuts.
My brother's 12 years younger than me, and he, even when he was in school, it started getting to a point where, okay, you can dress up, but you can't have anything that covers your face.
Okay.
You can dress up, but it has to be like an animal. It can't be anything scary. So yeah. It was slowly getting whittled away at over those years. And I don't know that a whole lot of schools, I could be wrong in other areas, still do it. But my kid's 15. He never has known Halloween party at school. Yeah, the parade through the classrooms and all that. Yeah.
Which you mentioned your brother, you and your brother doing makeup. You mean Isaac, right?
Yes. Isaac is 4 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. My brother Thor is 12 years younger than me.
Good. You got a good family names. Vincent, Isaac, and Thor.
And Thor. Yep.
And for you listening, Isaac is the Isaac that's been on the show as well. I think we just did late night TV staples and daytime TV staples. So that is also the Isaac Lanford. So if you're familiar with that, because your dad, you guys had you did videos back in the day with a band that you had called Devil's Brew.
Yes.
And I don't think that they're on YouTube anymore, but there's one called
They've not
Devil's
aged
Brew.
Well.
Yeah. Some of them. might as well be back with my brother's picture. But there's one called Devil's Brew Meets the Wolf Man, and your dad plays the Wolf Man in that.
Yes.
And it's very like great makeup. I was even surprised back in the day how great that looked.
And he did, that's all his. He did that all himself. He used to, as he would go out around Halloween time to bars to try to win costume contests with these elaborate makeups and stuff that he would do. And he got tired of doing it because, number one, they wouldn't announce the winners until well after midnight because they want you to stay and drink.
Of course. Yeah.
And he was tired of losing to a guy dressed as a joint who was a regular who they knew was going to spend all the prize money in the bar. You know?
Yeah.
So he stopped doing that years ago, quit putting in that effort. But yeah, he always had really super elaborate Halloween costumes like that when we were kids.
Well, let's we'll talk about Halloween costumes here in a minute also, but let's jump. We had the Celtics with their rituals, and then along come, wouldn't you know it, Vinny, the Romans.
Never heard of them.
Yeah. They have a they have a couple pizza places, Little Caesars and Noble Romans.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, now you're talking my speed. By 43 AD, the Roman Empire had conquered the majority of Celtic territory, and over the next 400 years, the festivals that were very similar, the Roman festivals kind of merged with the Celtic festivals. And those two festivals that are kind of a lot like Samhain were Feralia, a day in late October when the Romans traditionally commemorated the passing of the dead. And the second was to honor Pomona, the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. And her symbol was the apple, which I think they kind of speculate where we get bobbing for apples.
Yes. Yes, I have heard that as well. And basically it's two different cultures, but what it really boils down to is they're the end of the season, their harvest holidays, mm-hmm. more or less.
Yeah, shit's about to get bad. Let's have one last hurrah. By the 9th century, the influence of Christianity had spread into Celtic lands, where it gradually blended and supplemented older Celtic rites. In 1000 AD, the church made November 2nd All Souls Day, a day to honor the dead. It's widely believed that today the church was attempting to replace the Celtic Festival of the Dead with a related church-sanctioned holiday. So essentially they're like, you know, don't give them your money unless you want to give it to us over here, which we kind of do the same thing a little bit, you know. Which I think they say a lot like Christmas is kind of a blend of a lot of things, but it's just, let's kind of get these people over to our side.
Mm-hmm.
All Souls Day was celebrated similarly to Samhain, including big bonfires, parades, and dressing up in costumes such as saints and angels and devils. The All Saints Day was also called All Hallows or All Hallows Eve, and then that's how we get Halloween. Then we get all that comes to the United States. In colonial New England, they didn't really do all that stuff because they were Protestants like you guys. but we got a lot of Halloween traditions in Maryland and then the southern colonies. And then European ethnic groups and Native Americans all kind of meshed together and formed a distinctly American version of Halloween, which we get that they had stuff called play parties, which were essentially public festivals. And then in the 19th century, we had a flood of new immigrants, many of which were fleeing Ireland from the Irish potato famine. And that's how we get the kind of the modern day Halloween that we get today.
Because originally the jack-o'-lantern was carved from a turnip, correct?
That's true. And we will jump into the turnip stuff here in a second, because we didn't have a lot of turnips back in the day, apparently. But the history of trick-or-treating, this is, you know, this is something I just did as a kid and you probably did as a kid. And I don't know why, but it's just, they just say, hey, you dress up in costume and you get candy. And candy was all I really needed.
Right. That's currency.
Now, does your kid go trick-or-treating currently?
He's 15. And yes, he and his buddies will still go out, but they've all grown like 6 inches since last mm-hmm. year. And I have a feeling a lot of doors are going to get closed on them this year.
It's one of those where, like, man, you show up at my door, costume or not. If you want some candy, you can have some candy.
I'm that way to a degree. It depends on what age you are, whether you're in mm-hmm. a costume or not. If you're a child and you show up to my door and you don't have a costume, I don't care. I don't know what your situation is. Mm-hmm. Why I give you vampire fangs.
Yeah.
You know, so you have something. If you are grown and come to my door without a costume,
mm-hmm.
I'll probably hand it over, but you're going to get some side eye from me on it, you know?
Yeah.
But I had a guy who was probably he had to be my age, in his 30s or 40s. And he came walking up with like some zombie makeup. It looks like he applied it with a paintball gun. And he came up and I gave him his candy and he says, "Thanks, big dog," and just walks away. I don't mind a grown ass man painting his face and coming out and trick or treating. That doesn't bother me. But if you're grown and you come up to me with no costume on, I'm starting to be like, all right, man, put in a little effort.
I would love to see just a grown Hank Hill wearing teenage Hank Hill's devil costume. That still makes my heart happy. Now let's jump into the history of trick or treating. Barring from European traditions, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food or money, a practice that eventually became today's trick-or-treating. Young women believed that on Halloween, they could predict the name or appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn or mirrors. So I don't know what tricks they're doing with yarn, Vinny, but it seems pretty lame to me.
Yeah, pretty lame.
Yeah, in the late 1800s, there was a move in America to mold Halloween into a holiday more about community and neighborly get-togethers than about ghosts and pranks and witchcraft. At the turn of the century, Halloween parties for both children and adults became popular. Parents were encouraged by newspapers and community leaders to take anything, quote, frightening or grotesque, out of the Halloween celebrations. Because of these efforts, Halloween lost most of its superstitious and religious overtones by the beginning of the 20th century. So just as they did in your kids' school, yeah, they kind of took out the scary part, which not all of it has to be bloody or headless people. Some of it can be a princess, or you can be the Hulk. That's fun, yeah, too, you know?
Yeah, that's a debate. I worked in the haunted attraction industry for several years, and I still go to a lot of the larger conventions in the region. And one thing you'll always get in these groups on Facebook of these people, oh, well, my neighbor's bitching about my display again out my yard. And you look, and it's like this hyper-realistic,
mm-hmm,
Walking Dead type thing. It's like, well, yeah, man, no shit. Like, I am a person who, there's room for both things, but they have their place.
Yeah.
Leave that haunted house shit in the haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I like the mischief of the holiday, mm-hmm, of Halloween. I like the innocence of it. I like a green-faced witch. Mm-hmm. I like a
skeleton,
white sheet. Yes, I like a white sheet ghost. These things are all very traditional, classic American Halloween to, mm-hmm, me.
Yeah. Now, there was just in, like, I'm on the Nextdoor Neighbor app, the Nextdoor app. I don't know if you're on that. Essentially, it'd be like your community Facebook group page.
I do have one like that. Yeah. I ignore it a lot.
And I would, if they're listening, please unsubscribe me, because I've asked you several times. But there was somebody did post recently that somebody had a couple nooses in their front yard with little, like, doll things hanging. Not black dolls. They didn't appear to be black. But are you, because I'm a kind of a guy of, like, maybe nooses a little bit too real for Halloween. I know it's a Halloween costume or decoration, but I'm also like, you could just have a skeleton hanging there. You don't need to be hanging something.
I agree that, but on the other hand, I also feel like, yes, there is a history there.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is a larger history of that didn't involve,
yeah,
any kind of racism. It was,
yeah,
it was
people
a,
just getting hanged.
Yeah, it was capital punishment. Mm-hmm. It wasn't specific to any particular race at one point. I also, and again, this is me as a middle-aged white man saying, mm-hmm, this. So, but also, I also feel like people you're giving too much power to,
yeah,
the visual, mm-hmm, to continue to draw that comparison to it at all times.
Yeah.
So while I don't think it is probably the most sensitive thing, mm-hmm, to display and do, I also, on the other hand, feel like there's a slight overreaction,
mm-hmm,
to that being used as well. But just why are you out to ruffle somebody's feathers?
you know,
why do it if you know or think it might cause a fuss? Why do it?
I was shot down by my wife, but I did want to crucify a skeleton on the front lawn and be like, what, it's a skeleton. I don't know what do you mean, it's a skeleton. But so Maybe I won't do that this year, Vinny.
Yeah. Yeah. Feel it out.
Despite all the best efforts of many schools and communities, vandalism began to plague some celebrations in the 20s and 30s. By the 1950s, town leaders had successfully limited vandalism, and Halloween had evolved in more of a holiday directed mainly at kids due to the high numbers of young children during the 50s and baby boom. Parties moved from town civic centers into the classrooms or home, where they could be more easily accommodated. And also the mischief and stuff like that, that's where they also encourage people to hand out candy at their own homes. In theory, families could also prevent tricks being played on them by providing the neighborhood children with small treats. So essentially you're buying their good behavior.
Yes.
By saying, don't mess up my shit. Here's a Snickers.
I had also heard at one time that a rise in popularity during the 1950s and 40s of Halloween was because a lot of the soldiers coming back from World War II,
mm-hmm.
it was something that was a little more, it was family oriented, mm-hmm. it was community oriented, and it was viewed as somewhat wholesome. And that it got kind of a boost because of that. I was also one of those kids, though. By the time I got to be a teenager, I was doing the tricks along with the treats.
Now, I was going to ask, what kind of tricks did you do? Because I never did any Halloween night tricks. That was more about the candy. But definitely, you catch me any other month, there were some tricks to be had.
If you gave me shite candy,
mm-hmm.
then you were probably going to get something in return. For God, this is some terrible shit. Now, let's put it this way. I never did anything that was permanent damage to anybody's property. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. Other than I smashed the shit out of people's pumpkins.
Okay. But yeah, they were going to go away anyway.
They were going to rot anyway. But I would smash the shit out of pumpkins. Tearing people's lawn bags of leaves that they had raked up all across their lawn. I did that. soap windows.
Now, what is that? What is that? Because I never did that. What do you do with, like, you just put soap on windows?
Yeah, you take a bar of soap and you just, because it's a pain in the ass to wash off.
It'd be especially, like putting Vaseline on somebody's windshield wipers, but less dangerous. Because
especially if you get their screen too, like that's impossible. Yeah. I was once caught soaping my elementary school's windows
mm-hmm.
by your wife's aunt after hours.
At school. Yeah, that yeah.
And she let me go. She caught me red-handed and didn't turn me in or anything. And I never spoke of it again until I found out that she was your wife's aunt at your wedding reception.
Yeah, yeah.
And I brought it up, and she remembered.
She's like, I will keep my mouth shut if you keep your mouth shut. back in the day, I definitely, we would throw a lot of eggs on stuff.
See, but, I never did that.
And that was like, that wasn't even Halloween. That was just kind of a, let's go drive around and throw eggs at stuff. So that maybe that's more malicious now that it had nothing to do with bad candy. It was just, let's throw some shit at somebody. Not at people, but it was always objects.
My dad took that to a whole different level when he was a kid. He would, for like the old people that would keep your ball if you hit it in their yard.
Yeah.
Those people were visited with, he would quote, blow an egg where you poke a hole in an egg and drain the yolk out,
mm-hmm.
and then refill it with transmission fluid and melt candle wax over the hole to mm-hmm. reseal the egg, and that will eat car paint away.
Oh shit, that seems like
so that's some mean-spirited shit my dad would do.
That's also like, that has like a high potential to backfire on you. Cause I never poked a hole in an egg before, but I can't imagine. It's also, Ed, when did that go away? If you just started filling water balloons with transmission fluid.
I don't know, but I know that that's borderline sociopath shit right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah. You're having a nice omelet while the guy's paint's all chipped off. Now, look, I also got to talk about, because I found this interesting, All Souls Day and Soul Cakes, which I'd never heard before. The American Halloween tradition of trick-or-treating probably dates back to early All Souls Day parades in England, during which festivities poor citizens would beg for food and families would give them pastries called soul cakes in return to their promise to pray for their family's dead relatives. So you'd go door to door begging for stuff. My God, I'd wear a mask then too if that was the case. Like, can I get a dollar? Like,
yeah, that's rough. That's hard times, Daddy.
The distribution of soul cakes was encouraged by the church as a way to replace the ancient practice of leaving food and wine for roaming spirits. The practice, which was referred to as, quote, going a-souling, like I'm going to go a-souling, was eventually taken up by children who would visit the house in the neighborhood and be given ale, food, and money. So get your kid drunk, get him full, and then send him on his way with some money.
That doesn't sound like a bad deal to me.
No, look, if that's the case, I'll get a costume tomorrow. The tradition of dressing up in costume for Halloween has both European and Celtic roots. Hundreds of years ago, winter was an uncertain and frightening time. Food supplies often ran low. For many people afraid of the dark, the short days of winter were full of constant worry. On Halloween, they believe ghosts came out to the earthly world, and people, it's like you said before, Vinny, people dress up in costume to avoid being recognized by ghosts, and people would wear masks when they would left their houses after dark so that the ghosts would mistake them for fellow spirits.
Dumbass so, ghost.
I know, like how dumb are you that you're coming back from death, but then also can't realize that I got a rubber band mask, you know?
Like, boy, I thought that was a person, but it's She-Ra. Never mind.
Man, that is a clumsy ass Flash. Look at him. Now I was going to ask, do you have any Halloween traditions too? Cause I know some of us tend to have certain movies we like to watch and go to haunted houses, or what's some of your Halloween traditions?
I do have, that's typically when I watch like the Universal monster movies. Mm-hmm. This time of year always feels right for that. I've been watching a lot of the Hammer horror movies this year. I try to get in the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown whenever it's available. Halloween night, after I'm done with the trick-or-treaters, I turn out my light. I come in the house, take off my costume. I eat a popcorn ball that I've mm-hmm. saved back for myself. And I will typically, he's usually got something streaming, or I do have a few DVDs at home. I typically watch Sammy Terry, mm-hmm. Famous Indiana horror host Sammy Terry, host a movie. And I
much
will,
like Elvira, but for Indiana, not as very regional. Busty, so
and I will watch John Carpenter's Halloween is typically how I'll close my night out.
Yeah, what a great gimmick to name your movie after a Halloween that occurs every year.
Yeah, and if it's on like a weekend where I don't have to be in bed, I will double feature that in Halloween too.
Yeah, those are good back-to-back ones.
I think so, because it's the same night. It just stretches out. Technically, yeah. November 1st, but hey.
Now, you've also, you've been on the show previously for like some spooky stories and stuff like that. There's an episode back in the archives if you want to check that out. But you've also worked at a haunted house as well.
Yes. We haven't had the haunt open since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But for probably 10 years. Every weekend in October, Friday and Saturday, I was at the haunted house working.
Mm-hmm. Do you miss that?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I don't miss not being able to do anything social for the entire month of October. That first year that we didn't have it was great, like, because mm-hmm. I went on the weekends and did things I hadn't been able to do for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Now I kind of miss it a little bit more. I miss, because I never, well, early on I worked inside and would do a room with scares.
Yeah.
But for years I worked out entertaining the line that was waiting to get inside.
And for you, the listener, like Vinny, you've been a pro wrestling manager. Mm-hmm. You've done stand-up comedy. You've been a horror host yourself.
Yep.
You do a lot of stuff. So entertaining. So you're not unfamiliar with being entertaining.
Right. And like now I don't do the stand up really anymore. About the only thing I've been doing recently is I'm a burlesque show host.
Okay.
And I'm a character when I do that as well. I stand up was the closest I ever was to being me on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And even then that was a persona. I find it very difficult to just be me on a stage or on a camera. But so we would do, quote, karaoke outside. Mm-hmm. And I was a drunk hobo clown, Tipsy the Clown. And I would do, that's what I would do to entertain the crowd. I'd bring them up on stage with me, do it with me. Or I just had by the end of it, I had kind of a gimmick I could do throughout the night of different songs I could hit.
Yeah.
And I knew about how long it took people to get through a line, so I knew I could start over again, and it was all new people.
Yeah, you had a set you were working on.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
If you stayed for two times through the haunted house, maybe you were seeing the same gimmicks over and over.
Yeah. So the character was grimy, but he wasn't jump scary. What the idea for me was that it was like when you're at a gas station or at a party and somebody who's really drunk that you don't know comes up and gets within your space. It was that uncomfortable. That's what I went for with that character.
Yeah.
Not Michael Myers scary, but you're uncomfortable with, and plus you don't necessarily have a person's face either, you know? So
yeah,
that was the idea behind that character. And I do kind of miss it now. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I know that I'm 44 years old at this point, and I know that I'm not ready to ever go back to doing every weekend. But I also wouldn't mind going and maybe guest haunting at somebody else's attraction a couple times, you know?
Yeah, just step in and for a weekend and relive it. But then also, it's also nice to just, you're a family man. And also go do other fun things that aren't working at a haunted house.
Yes.
Now we've talked to through most of the quote history stuff that I have of how we got our origins, but there's some other superstitions that come with Halloween and throughout the year. One of them being black cats.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a cat owner, Vinny?
We have two cats and two dogs.
Are they any of them? Are any of those cats or dogs black cats?
The dogs are not black cats.
Okay.
And neither of the cats are black cats. I'm not opposed to them, though.
Here at Casa de Brent, we do have a black cat. And if many people have seen my stand-up, his name is Soup Cat.
Yes.
That's his nickname. So I'm not going to explain it. You can go watch my comedy somewhere. But that's the big, you know, anytime a black cat crosses your path, that's supposed to be bad luck. Now, back in the day, in the Dark Ages, elderly, solitary women were often accused of witchcraft, and their pet cats were said to be their, quote, familiars or demonic animals that had been given to them by the devil. Can you imagine the devil is like, here, have this cat?
Like, I can tell you from owning cats and dogs, the cats are way easier than the dogs. Way easier.
Just clean that box that they poop in every once in a while, you know?
Yeah, and check your shoes before you put your foot in it.
Oh, did you have that happen? Did they shit in your shoe, or did they get in the shoe?
Pukey.
Okay.
Cats are notorious for getting pukey in your shoes.
Nothing will wake you up quicker in the morning than just to hear a cat go, And you're like, no, on the hardwood floor or something, not the carpet.
yeah, so gross.
My cats tend to puke on things that you don't normally clean, like the curtains. So that's great. Oh, good. You found like the one thing that we don't normally clean.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I am a closed blinds person.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing sounds worse to me than having no covering on my windows for any amount of time while I wash my curtains.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could definitely tell how good a neighborhood is by whether they have real curtains or blinds, or it's a Colts blanket.
or a rebel flag hanging in the window.
That's
is
true.
My favorite. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Zen often uses symbols as bad luck. Black cats grace many Halloween decorations. Now, the black cat's reputation dates back to the Dark Ages. And then also another medieval myth was told that Satan turned himself into a cat when soliciting or socializing with witches. But nowadays, black cats, I have one. There's not such a stigma to them anymore. And even in places like Ireland and Scotland and England, it's considered good luck to have a black cat cross your path. So,
do you ever see, though, like on social media around Halloween time, is there always that person in your feed who always posts something about, if you have a black cat, make sure you keep them inside on Halloween night because people will abuse them and this and that? Or
I've heard
you,
that.
Have you ever see this? I see, yeah. Like, there's one person, like, every year who puts this in my Facebook mm-hmm. feed around this time. It's the same people telling me to that, you know, fireworks on the 4th of July, you're scaring dogs, so don't let off fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I say, fuck them dogs.
I don't know that how many people, I think if you're torturing cats, I don't know that you're going for black cats. I think if the cat is around,
yeah,
it's that's more, you know.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think if you're torturing cats, you're probably not going to mind what color they are.
Yeah, and to stop torturing cats, by the way, or any animal.
Yeah, so. Don't do that. Don't do that. We do not condone that here.
No. Do you guys, you carve pumpkins, you make jack-o'-lanterns at your house?
Yes, that is an, I cannot, God. I'm trying to think of the last year that I didn't
mm-hmm.
carve a pumpkin.
And even if we don't carve them, we definitely, that's kind of a thing we like to do. We go to the pumpkin patch, or some years if we're busy, we just get it at the store, which feels like cheating. But it's a fun ritual to go and pick out a pumpkin, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree. And I have been known to carve multiple pumpkins. Like mm-hmm. We generally have a night, and it's generally the week before Halloween. I always crack up when I see people like carving them up on October 10th.
Yeah, like, it's going to be bad.
It's going to be the most rotten pumpkin ever. Mm-hmm. So we usually the week of Halloween. And plus, to me, that's kind of a, oh, it's getting closer, it's almost here type of thing. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, we carve every year. And my wife doesn't participate as much. Mm-hmm. Like, she likes to see the end product and she likes to be in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't want to be elbow deep in a pumpkin
and goo.
Scooping their guts out. But yeah, I honestly think even if I didn't have any kids in the house, I would probably still carve a pumpkin.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have kids and we're over here carving pumpkins. But one of the weirdest shows I ever did was with DJ Dangler, comedian, you know him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on a previous episode, I believe it was called Stripper Stories, that I gathered from Reddit. But we did a show in Michigan. It was around Halloween, and it was a Halloween festival. And how the show went is we're on the under a tent on the lawn of the courthouse, only not with a real microphone that you would hold in your hand, but for some reason they had a lapel mic like you would clip to your shirt.
Oh, man.
We're holding this little lapel mic in our hands, and while I'm on stage, the high school marching band goes down the street behind me. So that's how the show went. But before the show started, was one of the cooler things I've seen. And it wasn't an opener, it was just kind of a thing they had before our show started. This guy, his name's Tom Nardone. I'm friends with him on Facebook still, but he's a, like, when I say professional pumpkin carver, I mean like September, October. But he does a bunch of corporate shows. He's been on Conan, I'm sure Good Morning America, all those morning talk shows. But he's written books on pumpkin carving. And this guy, like, was doing stuff I never thought about to do with a pumpkin. Like, he had a drill and the circular drill bit, like you would cut a hole in the wall. Like, he's drilling pumpkins and carving them and, like, 3 minutes, like doing a great job, but he's, you know, written books on it. Uh-huh. So, but just something that's never crossed my mind to use anything other than a knife on a pumpkin, you know?
Right. We discovered recently putting a paint mixer on the end of a drill to get the inside clean in no time flat.
Okay.
So I recently discovered that one. That makes that a lot easier. But and I don't even do a whole lot. I've done the stencils, like the fancy.
Yeah.
I've done it, but I actually just still kind of prefer rudimentary triangular classic eyes. Face. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm rather old school when it comes to my jack-o'-lanterns.
Well, let's talk about it, the jack-o'-lanterns, which is another Celtic folklore thing that tells the tale of a drunken farmer named Jack, wouldn't you know it, who tricked the devil. And it doesn't say how, but I can only assume in a fiddle contest.
Given, yes.
But the trickery resulted in him being turned away from both the gates of heaven and hell after he died. Having no choice but to wander around the darkness of purgatory, Jack made a lantern from a turnip and a burning lump of coal that the devil tossed to him from hell.
That was nice.
Yeah, just here you go. Jack, the story goes, used the lantern to guide his lost soul. As such, the Celts believe that placing jack-o'-lanterns outside would help guide lost spirits home when they wandered around the streets on Halloween. Originally made hollowed out turnips with small candles inside, jack-o'-lanterns also frightened any evil spirits away from your house.
Can you imagine carving out a turnip?
Yeah.
That's not even a hollow thing.
Like the things that you would like, you could do a watermelon, I think. You could do any, probably the bigger melons, but yeah, you know, can you imagine carving a banana?
Yeah, I can just a turnip, but like of all things.
Mm-hmm. No.
Hollow it out and carve a face into.
And thankfully, they got away from the turnips when the Irish potato famine happened in 1846, forced the Irish to flee to North America. The tradition came with them. And since the turnips were hard to come by, we use pumpkins, which, you know, we make, there's pumpkin flavored stuff. We do pies, but what else are we using pumpkins for, Vinny?
That's a good question. That's a good question. And they're clearly not that difficult to grow. But no. Yeah, what other use are you getting out of a pumpkin other than selling them to be carved or the occasional pie?
Well, and then like there's a guy that's by our house that has like a pumpkin farm, or he sells mums and all that stuff. But one of the things he does is after Halloween, he will donate the rest of his pumpkins. And you can do this too, I guess, is you take it to the zoo and they'll feed it to the hippos.
Oh, okay.
So I assume you got to clean. You don't leave a candle in there. Don't be feeding, you know, the hippos candles. But
the great apes at the ape sanctuary that I donate to in Florida, they also give the apes pumpkins this time of year, and the apes will eat the pumpkins.
They go ape shit over it.
They do. They do. I wouldn't want to have to clean that kennel afterwards.
No. No. We've got a couple more things and we'll wrap up here. Do you know much about this? Was something that I wanted to include in this just because I heard it a long time ago and I thought it was interesting. Why witches ride broomsticks?
I don't know if I know that one.
Okay. No. The witch's broomstick is another superstition that has its roots in medieval myths. Elderly women, introverted women were accused of witchcraft, were often poor and could not afford horses, so they navigated through the woods on foot with the help of walking sticks, and some of them even used brooms. English folklore tells that during nighttime ceremonies, witches rubbed, quote, flying potions on their bodies, and they closed their eyes and they felt that they were flying. The hallucinogenic ointment, which caused numbness, rapid heartbeat, and confusion, would give them illusion that they're often soaring, and that those potions would make them sick. So they would put it on the broom and then put it between their legs and ingest it that way.
Well, I had never heard any of this. It's going to make watching The Wizard of Oz way different from here on out.
Yeah. So they're getting high via, you know, stuff between their legs.
Lord have mercy.
That was interesting to me. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know? I've never heard that. Did you just make that up?
Yeah, I did. I'm a little thing I'm working on over here. Wow. And then this, what would you say is the most divisive candy around Halloween? Or in general?
Peanut butter kisses? Is that what they call those things that come in the black and orange wrappers?
Oh, yeah. And those are, I don't know what they're called. They're not Mary Jane's, because those say Mary Jane's on it. It's they would be like wax paper type
wax
thing.
Paper.
It's peanut
either
butter,
orange,
or they're black.
Yes.
I don't think that's what I was going for, but
vandalized when I was a kid. That got your leaves torn out all over your yard if you get
and
those
your fillings. I do like those. Those are some of my favorites. Yeah, because you don't get those. Those aren't like a Christmas candy. You know,
yeah, they're not as popular as they used to be either. Like I don't know that those get handed out a whole lot these days.
I don't think they make new ones. I just think they take the old ones and they're like,
they're like heirlooms.
Yeah, let's pass them on. What I was going for, Vinny, is candy corn. People feel strongly about candy corn.
They do.
I guess it was invented back in the 1880s. Began being mass produced in the 1900s, and the original process to make candy corn was cumbersome because they had to pour each individual color, white, orange, and yellow, on top. So it was like pouring in the colors and stuff. And originally that was called chicken feed instead of candy corn.
Okay. Only way I can eat candy corn is if it's mixed in with peanuts.
Okay.
Grabbing a handful like that, that's the only way I can do it.
Now we could end there. If you got time, we could talk about this, but if you don't, I know we're probably at our about time. Do you have time to do a couple more things?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about the most popular candies from the last few years. What would you say is the most popular candy? And maybe not even the last few years, because you could say overall in your lifetime, what would you say is the most popular Halloween candy?
Man.
Because we talked about the orange and black things.
It's got to be Reese's Cups.
Yeah, that's what this, according to KIRO, I don't know where this news station's from, but Reese's Cups is number one on that list.
And I think that works because of the packaging, too. It's got a Halloween look to it.
Yeah. Year round.
I think that's definitely got to help.
We've also got Skittles and M&Ms are the top three. Reese's Cups, Skittles, and M&Ms. One, two, three. Starburst. And then number five, there was a separate list of popular Halloween candy by state. And this is where I call bullshit on both of these of these articles, because number five is Hot Tamales.
Those only come in like giant Dollar Tree boxes. Like, who the fuck is giving those up? You just pouring a few out into a kid's bag.
There you go, kid. You like cinnamon, like a lot of cinnamon.
And do you like it to be stuck all over your teeth for 3 hours?
It's like Mike and Ike, but spicy.
Yeah.
Like that list of, states' favorite candy. I don't remember what states, but there was only one state that their favorite was Snickers, which is dumb.
Yeah, you would think that would be way higher on the list.
But then, like, there were like three or four or five states whose favorite Halloween candy was Hot Tamales.
Get the fuck out of here. That can't be true.
Have
you ever seen a snack size bag of Hot Tamales? Never.
Maybe. What is it? Red Hots is the other one? Is the same kind of candy?
Except a Red Hot has that harder candy shell on it. My grandma always had that in a dish with peanuts when I was a kid.
No, that's gross. Like, it's not gross, but it's like, I don't want cinnamon. Like, that's not what I'm going for, you know?
Yeah, I'm not drinking Fireball.
No. Yeah. And if I am, I'll just drink Fireball, you know. Also, we have on this list Sour Patch Kids, Hershey Kisses, Snickers, Tootsie Pops, and Candy Corn, which again, that was number 10 on this list. Calling bullshit.
Again, how is candy corn packaged? Have you ever seen it in anything but a 5-pound bag?
And then, like, on a coffee table or whatever. Yes. Maybe it's like the pumpkin candy corns, but even then, like, no, it's just, that's kind of around. It's like, what, fruitcake during Christmas? Yeah, it's just there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I find that hard to believe.
Now, what would you always say is like when you're eating your Halloween candy in February? Like at the bottom of the bag, like what, Smarties? That was always at the bottom.
Smarties are definitely at the bottom. Necco wafers. Do you remember those? Mm-hmm. Those were awful. A lot of people don't like Good and Plenty's. I happen to like them, but I'm a black licorice person.
I like a candy that tells you exactly what it is. It's not great. It's good. It's good. And there's a lot of it. Now and laters, like, that's the kind of shit like you almost had to put in the microwave to even try to eat because it's so old.
Yeah.
I've never had like a Starburst level squishy Now and Later, you know?
I have always definitely been a hard candy last person.
Yeah. Yeah. And like even like a sucker, I kind of count as a hard candy, but I'd rather have a sucker than you know, a root beer barrel or, you know, lemon drops or whatever.
Yeah. I've never, that's why when I get my treat bags, there's, but I used to just do all chocolate, mostly chocolate, because everybody else is a cheap ass in the neighborhood and they give out the really generic bag of Smarties and shit like that.
Yeah.
And I just noticed kids were had a bunch of shit in their treat bags, but I have noticed their kids, if there's sour kids and there's chocolate kids.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I try to put a little Starburst in some of them. Skittles are a good one to put in there for that. One year I bought a whole bag of Warheads and mixed them in with all the stuff. But yeah, that's what kids, if they're generally one or the other, is they like sour or they like the chocolate.
That is my mood. And I don't go sour. I say fruit candy or chocolate candy. And sometimes I'm like, I'm a Skittles. Mood for Skittles, and sometimes it's a Snickers. Rarely do I get like those Tootsie Rolls that are fruit plus a Twix. You know, like rarely do I have. That's not a combo that I eat. You know,
I'm not a fan of the Tootsie Roll. Period.
I like that. One time when I was in school, here's what we did. The teacher had Tootsie Rolls on her desk, so we took one, and we ate the Tootsie Roll. By we, I mean probably me. And then we broke a brown crayon and took the wrapper off and then wrapped it back up with a Tootsie Roll. So, and I don't know if a kid ever found it, but man, was I kind of waiting for it for you to bite into a Crayola.
That's brilliant. That's right up there with what I saw on social media when people said a great Halloween prank is to the caramel apples instead put the tongue depressor things into an onion.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And put the caramel on it. Oh, I would kill to watch a kid bite into something like that.
Into an onion, yeah. Well, what would you say is the most popular Halloween costumes? Because I would say like vampire is probably the most generic, but also easiest to do.
What I have found over the last 5 years of living in this neighborhood and getting shitloads of trick-or-treaters, I've found that I see less mummies, less vampires, less of the classic stuff. I still see Jason's, Michael Myers, and Freddy's out the ass.
Yeah.
So that they are the Wolfman, Frankenstein, and Dracula for these kids. The updated,
yeah.
Yeah. I see a lot of that. I saw the last couple of years a shitload of Pennywise the Clowns from the new It movie. And I'm talking toddlers, parents having their toddlers dressed up as Pennywise.
Yeah, yeah, too young to even see the movie, but let's make them Pennywise.
Yes. Shitloads of course, Marvel superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of that. But every now and again, I will. Oh, those inflatable costumes too.
Like a people, dinosaur. T-Rex.
Yeah, people love those inflatable costumes. But I love seeing the kids who they're. I like it when their shit's not store bought. That always thrills me when I see a kid wearing something that's not store bought.
I remember, and I think it was a costume that my brother had, which wasn't Steve Urkel. My mom made him like a Superman cape, and I remember wearing that just like riding around on my bike. That's like the quintessential. You see a kid riding around and, oh, he's got a cape, because why wouldn't a kid have a cape, you know?
Yep.
That was stuff.
That was great to when you'd try to keep your vacuform mask from your Ben Cooper costumes throughout the year, and they're just, the edges had cracks all the way through it, sharp edges and pinch your skin. And
yeah,
God, those things were shitty.
One of my favorite things to do every year was to we kept all the holiday decorations in the attic in the garage, was to get that stuff out and then be like, oh, I remember this costume or whatever. Like, I always love to do that kind of stuff, especially with Christmas stuff. But to get all that out and see like, this was an old decoration when I was a kid. So this is like 30 years old type thing.
My dad had a skull. It was just a cardboard skull, probably had a hole punched in the middle where you could hang it from a ceiling or something, that he always put on the front door. And it was a skull, but it had like human eyes on the inside of it, and it was green. And I remember the one side was faded so much it looked like it was blue from where he had it at the front door every year. But that image will always be with me of that thing being hung when I was a kid. And Dad has a dummy that he made before I was born. The face of it is a latex mask of my dad's actual face from a plaster mold he did. He's had this thing forever, and my parents have lived in the same house now for over 20 years, and they live in the middle of nowhere. They have not had a trick-or-treater one time, and my dad still decorates the porch every year with this dummy and a skeleton and some lights and shit. I haven't had a kid out there in 20 plus years, but he still does it.
Well, the thing is, we decorate in our house for Halloween. I'll switch the records on the wall to like the kids' novelty spooky records, and nobody's seeing that, but it just makes you feel better, you know?
Yeah. I do LED orange lights on the porch, and I've got like three or four inflatables, and I've got one of those projectors on the side of the house. Like, and I try to add something every year, but I want to be the house that 10, 15 years from now, these kids go, hey, do you remember that house over there that we used to go to? Man, that dude always used to do it up. Because those are the houses I remember from when I was a kid. Yeah. The people who handed out candy in costume were the houses that I wanted to go to and that I always remembered.
We've driven past the house twice this Halloween season, and there's no less than 10, 12-foot skeletons and clowns. And then at this yard, and you in your head you're like, well, I know those are like $300 a piece if you got them retail, which they're all sold out. So then in your head you're like, well, at least he's in for $3,000 without the extension cords, without all that stuff. And it's like, it's not cheap to be festive sometimes.
No, it's not. And again, who's it for? Yeah, it's for yourself. You have fun doing it, but I love people do it because it's a gift to the neighborhood. It really is.
Well, let's wrap up talking about the most popular Halloween costumes. This from a thing from the theactivetimes.com, but it's through Spirit Halloween. Now, these are the most popular Halloween costumes from 1983. On this year, we don't have to do all of them because I know we're a time crunch. But 1983 was Princess Leia, 1984 Freddy Krueger, 1985 Hulk Hogan. I've never seen anybody dressed up as Hulk Hogan.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah, this is where sometimes I start calling bullshit on some of these costumes.
They just look to see who the top celebrity was back then and say, oh, yeah, that was it.
Well, in 86 was Care Bear, so I can imagine somebody's dressed up as a Care Bear, you know?
Yeah.
I just imagine an 8-year-old kid coming to my door and then doing the Hulk Hogan thing where he puts his hand behind his ear because he can't hear you, brother. 1987. This is just a costume that you see every once in a while, whether it's Halloween or not, but Where's Waldo?
Okay.
Like, you can't see anybody in a red and white shirt and not think of Where's Waldo. And, you know, right. 8 times a day when they wear that shirt, they get that stupid joke. And that, but I'm also like, you know what that shirt is. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
88 was Elvira.
Okay.
So I don't, I, you know, we could bring that back anytime if you want to, but, 89, this is
what's
year
the percentage of people who shouldn't have been Elvira?
Probably a lot, but I still like to see it. 1989, the year I was born, and I could buy this, Batman, the year that the movie came out, Jack Nicholson.
Oh yeah.
We had a 90 was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, 91, The Terminator. Bless you.
Oh, thank you.
92, Catwoman, 93, Barney. I feel like kids like Barney, but they don't want to dress up as Barney.
I now that you say it, I remember back then seeing those vacuum form masks, but by this time it wasn't the vinyl smock. They had gone to that super thin material costumes.
94 Power Rangers. I could see that. I don't know. I was a little few years later on my Star Wars or my whatever. I'm reading Star Trek on the screen, but we're talking Power Rangers. God damn it. Star Trek. I know you're a big Trek fan, but I feel like kids wouldn't give a shit about Star Trek, right? Am I right?
Well, in the 60s or 70s.
Okay.
They would have given a shit. I can't imagine why in 1995 all of a sudden somebody wants to be Mr. Spock.
Again, this is why I call bullshit on some of these lists. 96 was Scream or Ghostface. You know, I called Ghostface. I was like, oh, that's Scream. It's like if I called Michael Clark Duncan Green Mile, you know?
I remember my oldest when we were at the store, he was probably, I don't want to know, 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to be Ghostface. And it was the one where it had a little pump that looked like a heart.
Oh, with the blood that came down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember like subtly trying to steer him away from that because I just thought it was so generic and lame. Mm-hmm. And I didn't win. He went as Ghostface that year.
Well, in hindsight, he might have been right, Benny. fast forward through some of these years, Batman and Robin, South Park. I remember my friend Casey had a full Cartman costume and we thought it was Casey at the Halloween party at school, but he wouldn't take the head off. But we were like, well, Casey's not here. That's gotta be Casey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Matrix, Austin Powers, my God. That had to be everywhere in 2000.
Do you remember that summer between?
Yeah, baby, I do.
And like, everybody came back doing an Austin Powers impression.
Yeah.
For me, that was Beavis and Butthead. The first summer that hit. And then the next year, everyone and their brother. And I'm sure the last big one was Borat.
Borat. And before that, God, it slipped in my head, and then I'll see if it pops up here. What I was thinking was Napoleon Dynamite. We'll see if Napoleon Dynamite's on this list. The SNL Spartan Cheerleaders 2001. No, I mean, that was 9/11, so we didn't have a lot to grab onto in 2001. So maybe that Will Ferrell. But again, I don't buy that. Spider-Man 2002. 2003 was just generic pirates.
Okay. That's like, probably that's like Johnny Depp.
When you watch like a horror movie and they don't have the rights to costumes, there's always a pirate and a ninja.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I was a ninja one year. SpongeBob SquarePants. 2005 was just generic Star Wars. It didn't say, Darth Vader anything. 2006, I wonder how many of these were well-meaning people. Was Barack Obama, 2006. 2007, again, Spider-Man. 2008, The Joker. Today you see a lot of Jokers. And by that, the Heath Ledger Joker.
If you go to any convention of any kind, I don't think it matters if it's comic book, horror, whatever can pop culture convention you go to, somebody is going to be dressed as the Heath Ledger Joker.
And it's Deadpool probably is on this list too, if they go that far.
Yes.
2011 was Snooki in The Situation. So you just
who was okay.
2012, The Avengers.
Okay.
Bye. 2013, The Twerkin' Teddy. You remember that? It's not Hannah Montana. It's what's her face? Miley Cyrus had those twerking bears, apparently. That's where you get into like, oh, this is the hot costume this year because it was also kind of a meme, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
2014, Frozen. 2015, Caitlyn Jenner. Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. 2016, Donald Trump.
Of course.
Hocus Pocus, Fortnite. Fortnite again, and this one goes up to 2019. I'm surprised we didn't see any, like I said, Borats. We didn't see any, Napoleon Dynamite, all that. I'm sure, again, this is where you can call bullshit. I'm surprised we just didn't see candy corn on this list.
They all lost at a contest at a bar to a guy dressed as a joint.
Hey, give it to Larry again. Well, that's the history of Halloween. That's all you ever wanted to know. There's no more to Halloween than what I just told you.
That's right.
Let's do some plugs, Vinny. I'm a big fan of your podcast that you do. It's called The Midwest Monsters. It's you and three other Midwest monsters, and you you talk about horror movies.
We do
every episode. So, is there anything else to say about that show than what I just told you?
This show there, we have a long back catalog for this show. I mean, the show's been on for 10 years, been doing it. I wasn't always a part of it, but I have been for the last 5 or more years. We cover different stuff every time. We're not just recycling the same stuff over and over. And, we're brutally honest with our opinions on the movies. We do spoil the shit out of them, so know that going in. But you can find it on iTunes, and I believe you can also find it on Podbean. But yeah, give us a listen. If you like what you hear, leave us a review.
And if you're a horror fan, you guys definitely, sometimes you're talking up to 4 movies in an episode. So you find some ones that you didn't even know existed. And then sometimes you find ones that you didn't know you should avoid. Until you heard about them, and then you're like, oh, I should avoid this.
And we're 4 guys who love horror, but I think all 4 of us have pretty distinct flavors of what kind of horror we like.
Mm-hmm.
So we do the episodes, the Monster Mash, where we each choose a movie in the genre, and everybody has to watch them. And then we go around and discuss them and our opinions on it. And I've been exposed to a lot of movies that I would not have watched on my own that I've actually really enjoyed. I've seen some I absolutely hated, but so it's interesting. Yeah. If you're interested in that kind of thing, give us a listen. Midwest Monsters podcast.
They watch stuff that you should watch and watch stuff that, so you don't have to.
That's exactly right.
Vinny, thank you for being on the History of Halloween episode.
Thanks for having me on.